From Washington, the nation's capital, the Voice of America presents Issues in the News. The nation's top Washington correspondents offer their perspectives on the week's major stories. Your moderator is Fred Barnes of the Weekly Standard. Issues in the News begins now.
Welcome to Issues in the News. I'm Fred Barnes, editor of the Weekly Standard. Joining me on the show this week are Tom DeFrank, contributing editor to National Journal, and Oren Durrell, foreign affairs reporter for USA Today. And here are the issues, or as I should say, the issue. Three men, at least one of them linked to Al-Qaeda, allegedly staged a rampage at the newsroom of a Paris satirical magazine, killing 12 people. The magazine is famous for making fun of Islam in cartoons. The attack had a huge emotional and political impact across the world, especially in Western Europe, where the issue of Islamic immigrants has been raised by anti-immigrant groups. There were questions also about how much security is needed to protect against terrorist attacks. And that's just one of the many questions we will discuss today, Oren, which is an ongoing story as we're talking. What is it that makes this attack on the magazine in Paris? It's not the biggest attack in Europe. They were bombing, there were terrorist attacks in London, they've been in Madrid. And yet this one, with 12 people killed, seems to have galvanized the world, but particularly Western Europe and the United States.
I'd say there are several aspects of this attack and the timing that make it stand out. For one, it is an attack on a magazine, in a satirical magazine, and Europeans and French people have seen it as an attack on a fundamental value of free speech that they believe in, and these attackers clearly were attacking. The magazine had poked fun at the Prophet Muhammad, and it had done so repeatedly. It had been firebombed in the past, and now there are 12 people dead there. And people in France have been saying that they have the right to do that. The other aspect is that this attack comes after a series of other smaller attacks where people have been running their cars into French passersby and pedestrians yelling Allahu Akbar, which is the same phrase, God is great, that the shooters used during the attack on Charlie Hebdo, the magazine. So this is coming at the tail end of a series of other attacks that are kind of similar. And it's also coming at a time when the French and other Europeans are dealing with, protesting against immigration. And there's been kind of a backlash against the Muslim immigrant community. And part of that has to do with a large influx that has come in recently from the conflicts in Syria and Iraq.
Tom, we're looking at this from the United States. What do you make of the whole thing? I mean, the United States has been, obviously we had 9/11, that famous terrorist attack in 2001. But President Obama, for one, has said that Al-Qaeda was on the decline. And but now we see this attack. We see the fighting with the Islamic terrorist group in Syria and in Iraq. What do you make of all this?
Well, you're right. I think President Obama is right up to a point, Fred. I think Al-Qaeda, as we came to know it in 9/11, is on the decline. I think the record of the last dozen years or so is that it has become harder for terrorist groups to mount these massive 9/11-style attacks. So to that extent, it's good. But it's a reminder that you can never stop a so-called lone wolf, somebody who has been reading up on the Internet and feels some real kinship with Islam and decides to punish somebody he thinks is not ideologically pure. But you also have this attack, which is somewhere in the middle between a lone wolf and a massive massive 9/11-style attack. This was a very well organized operation against the magazine by at least two and maybe a third individual who were well trained with modern weapons. They clearly had some training. This just wasn't a couple of lunatics with some guns they picked up. And I think that's probably one of the things that I find so chilling about this. You have individuals clinging to what might be described as a 16th century ideology with the 21st century weapons. And I think the success of stopping large-scale, massive operations does not as this shows, does not in the least shut down horrible incidents like this. Mm-hmm. You have to hope that this is basically a French problem in the sense that there are individuals in France who are Islam militants and who have real grievances against France. But I wouldn't be shocked if these sorts of things happen somewhere else. I don't think this particular attack is part of a grander conspiracy, but it just goes to show you that these kind of terrorists and extremists are out there and they can pop up at any time.
I think the men that have been identified as the attackers initially are French citizens,
right,
grew up in France, and had been tracked. They were known to French intelligence. Well, obviously, French intelligence was not keeping adequate track on them.
Well, one story that I read suggested that the French intelligence had been very diligent, but after months, it's very expensive.
Yes.
And I think the French just decided they were spending too much money and had to devote those resources somewhere else. You can be sure, I suspect, they won't make that mistake again. But 24-hour surveillance is quite expensive. You have to change agents. You have to change cars. It's quite an operation, even if you're just keeping tabs on one person. And so clearly they were known to the French, but the French were not at the top of their game on this one. They were also known to U.S. intelligence. They were on the American no-fly list, meaning they would not be allowed into an American airport if they were trying to get into this country. So these are well-known individuals within the intelligence community.
Warren, go ahead.
The problem that the Europeans have is that in the case of France, about 1,000 people just from last year, who've been to Syria or Iraq to fight with ISIS or the al-Nusra Front. They've got hundreds and hundreds of people who have been to these war zones, these conflict zones, and are either en route back or have come back. And they're trying to track and keep track of every one of them. And the French have a world-class intelligence system.
Mm-hmm.
But there are going to be, obviously, this is a crew that fell through the cracks. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think is important to note about these individuals is that they've been involved in radical behavior since their 20s for a very, very long time. The French media have been keeping track of Sherif Kouachi, the younger brother, because he had been arrested so many times, and he served a prison term for helping to send Frenchmen to Iraq to fight with al-Qaeda in Iraq against American forces. He also was arrested in a plot to help break out another Islamist bomber who killed 8 people at a train station to break him out of prison. You know, this guy, when they in the course of that investigation, they found all kinds of radical literature and other materials that showed how far this guy had gone. And he's completely connected with the whole crew of people who have been involved in this kind of behavior for years. One of the incidents related to this Charlie Hebdo magazine attack apparently is this killing of a police officer, a female police officer, also in France near Paris. And she apparently was killed by people who were involved in the plot to free this railway bomber. So there's a whole group of people involved. It's not just these two.
Make it more threatening to Europeans, I would think it would, that these were homegrown, at least the three who were identified as attacking the magazine. Unlike 9/11 in the United States, for instance, where those attackers were not American citizens anyway, some of them had been to the United States before, but there are large Islamic communities, Muslim communities, in almost every European country, at least Western European country, and I would think that would make it a bigger issue.
Well, it does, and I think that's part of the reason that this attack strikes such a chord there, is that these guys they're not only raised in France, they're born in France.
Mm-hmm.
They're French citizens born in France to parents from Algerian descent. There's millions of people like them in France. Most of them are law-abiding and like being Frenchmen, but there is a minority that ascribes to this very virulent and conservative form of Islam, Salafism, and there's a subset of those who are violent. And the French society and Western European society is in the process of trying to figure out how to absorb these people, because frankly, they've not done it all that well. The unemployment among the Muslim population is something like 30%. much higher than in the rest of France, and many of them live in suburbs that are almost almost walled off or separated from the rest of France, and there's a lot of disenchantment. And the risk with these attacks is that it's going to cause a backlash against a further backlash against the Muslim population. And when you create a separation between the minority population and the rest of the population, you end up with a situation where they're not talking to each other and there's lack of trust of police and lack of cooperation. And that's what's really needed to find these cells and counter them.
Yeah, Tom, the question, of course, in France and in other countries as well, particularly in Western Europe, is, well, is it that the immigrants don't want to assimilate or that the host country doesn't want to let them assimilate, or maybe a combination of both?
Probably a combination, but largely the latter. I mean, we have talked before about the problems in France where more than one government has decided that female Muslims should not be allowed to wear the full facial scarf, and that is created real strife, real contention in France. It's a big problem. And in France, of course, you have the legacy of the civil wars in Algeria and Morocco and Tunisia, when the French control those countries. And another complication is, as we all know, dozens of years ago, earlier in this century, France was in effect running Syria as part of a of a big power arrangement. And so there are strong historical ties between France and Syria. So there's tens of thousands of Frenchmen and Frenchwomen who go to Syria all the time, and most of them are not terrorists,
well,
but there's no way to control.
I know you're not blaming France for the attack.
No, I'm certainly not.
But it seems like this situation that you've described is sort of true in other European countries. So I think they would naturally be scared.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's just a reminder that, as I said earlier, these sorts of things can happen for various reasons. This one, you get the feeling that it was basically terrorists who were outraged at this magazine's poking fun, if you will, at the Prophet Muhammad. But
Reminiscent of that whole controversy over the cartoons in the Danish magazine that, when was that, 10 years ago?
Right, and also when I was at Newsweek, I remember that there was a backlash because of a story that in Iraq, U.S. soldiers had been noticed burning copies of the Quran, and there was a huge backlash about that. And, of course, but this is, if you take this at face value, this seems to be a religious, what I would call religious intolerance at its at its core. But there's all sorts of Islamists who are angry at France for being part of the U.S.-led coalition in the air war against the Islamic State, ISIS or ISIL, whatever you want to call it. So there are other opportunities for other extremists to do sorts of things that have nothing to do with religion. And so it's little wonder that that France is gripped by terror, because you have to feel like that this is not the only one of these things that might happen.
I'm going to take a break here. We'll have more in just a minute, but first a reminder. You're listening to Issues in the News, coming to you on the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your moderator, Fred Barnes of the Weekly Standard, and joining me today are Oren Durell of USA Today and Tom DeFrank of National Journal. And this is a reminder that you can listen to Issues online as a podcast. The program is also available for free download on iTunes. Just click on the iTunes tab on our website at voanews.com/issuesinthenews. Sounds like you can get Issues in the News just about anywhere you are, Tom. Well, let's turn to a couple of the issues here. One, Oren, that you raised, and that is, what about the question of immigration? And there's so many of these Muslim immigrants in Europe. There are parties in France and England, for sure, that seem to be that is their main issue. Opposition to this immigration. What's going to happen on these issues? I've read the word backlash is on the front page of the Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal and so on. What is the backlash, Oren? How big is that going to be? How big is it now and how big is it likely to be? It seems pretty big.
So far, the in France, the leader of the National Front Party, Marine Le Pen, has been kind of quiet about the issue, and you know she's trying, I think, to not appear to jump to conclusions or to ride this, to use this issue as to politicize it. But the analysts that I've spoken to are saying that it's very, very likely that the French and other European countries are going to take a very serious look at their immigration policies after this particular incident. There's been, in Germany, there have been these large protests for several months now, started in October, against immigration, and there have been it's called the Pegida movement, and they've been complaining. They've had protests in Berlin and in Dresden and several other cities, and they've been mainly complaining about a large, almost a doubling of the number of immigrants coming into Germany. And a lot of them are being provided political asylum from the conflict in Syria. They've been complaining about loss of jobs and the changing face of their communities as mosques are being built and as women are wearing headscarves and face veils and as schools are being asked to provide halal food for that meet Muslim practices and other types of things. And some of these have been described by some as kind of intolerance to change and to diversity. But this particular incident is going to sort of change that argument to one of diversity and intolerance to one of security, which mm-hmm. is something that a lot more people in Europe and France can relate to.
Then this raises also, Tom, a security issue in the United States. President Obama his administration has been releasing terrorists that have been locked up in Guantanamo prison in Cuba. I think of the five released several months ago to Uruguay. When they went to Uruguay, they were treated as heroes almost. And the question is, we know that at least a third or a little slightly more of those that have been released have returned to terrorist groups and are active there. Is this going to impede the president's promised effort that he would close Guantanamo, he would clear it out? I think it may have some impact.
Oh, I think it'll definitely have some impact. I mean, there's no way that Guantanamo Bay, that the prison at Guantanamo Bay will be closed by the time he leaves office in January of 2017. But he is determined to reduce the prison population. But I believe this will make it harder for him to pull off. He has the executive authority to do this. As part of his authority as the guy who runs foreign policy mm-hmm. in the United States, Congress can't do much about it. But I mean, it will complicate his ability. He doesn't want to look like he's soft on terror, but he also wants to have more inmates out of there. I think it's going to complicate things for him. The other person I think all of this is going to complicate matters for is President Hollande. I think after 9/11, the American people rallied around President George W. Bush at least for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see what happens in France benefits President Hollande, who is one of the more unpopular mm-hmm. presidents of France in recent memory. And if an election were held before this attack, which obviously is not going to happen, he would not win. So we'll have to see whether there is a momentary surge of support for an embattled president, mm-hmm. or whether the preponderance of French public mm-hmm. opinion says this happened on his watch and he's mm-hmm. further undermined.
Mm-hmm. Oren, there is a cultural issue here that you certainly hear from the anti-immigration groups and from others as well in Europe, and that is that they complain that this influx of immigrants from Muslim countries in recent years, and it accelerated recently, as you pointed out, it threatens to change the culture of these countries that have been built up over the years. What do you make of that argument? You certainly hear it more.
You hear it more, and I think that it's fair to say that there are people among the immigrants, among the and not only the immigrants, but people that have been there a long time,
mm-hmm.
who don't want to become French, who don't want to become German, or who feel that they're German, but they want to continue to practice their culture from the old country, from where they came from, and a lot of those practices are in conflict with European practices. So at least for some of them, there is a conflict that's there, and that has to be has to be worked out somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how it's going to be worked out is not exactly clear. The there are other Muslims who are very happy to be French and who or German or Belgian and who move to Europe because they want a more freer life. You know, they're coming from countries where freedom of religion is not as strong as it is in Europe.
Sometimes it's non-existent.
They're coming from countries where women don't have as many rights. And a lot of them go to Europe because they want more freedom. The conflict that's happening in Europe between the ultra-conservative form of Islam that doesn't want to change and that is proselytizing, and between the rest of Europe, including the Muslims that want to be more liberal, is a conflict that's also happening in the Arab world and in the Muslim world. You know, there's a major, this issue of a reformation of Islam mm-hmm. is something that is starting to be talked about a lot more by Muslim and Arab leaders.
Yeah, particularly the speech recently by General al-Sisi of Egypt, and calling for a revolution almost in Islam, saying that Islam is practiced now by some, scaring the world.
Right. President al-Sisi gave a speech at Al-Azhar University, which is the center of one of the centers of learning the oldest centers of learning in Islam, and it's in Cairo. And he talked about exactly what you said. He talked about asking the clerics that he was and scholars that he was speaking to come up with a new ideology or a new way of thinking that would be more at peace and more in harmony, I think would be the word, mm-hmm. with the rest of the world. Whether or not that's going to happen is not really clear, but it's interesting to see a leader of his stature coming out and saying this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you haven't heard a lot of people jumping on board on that, Tom. You know, I'm looking at the New York Times and with a story, and of course this is dominating the American press, but in the New York Times a story with the headline, Raising Questions Within Islam. And of course, the President Sisi is doing that. The question is whether they'll be raised by believers in Islam in the European countries, among other things, and in the United States.
Well, I think it's going to require far more Muslim leaders, not just presidents or people running these countries, but the intellectual leaders. To condemn not only what has happened, but to condemn the whole politics of confrontation, the politics of revenge and vengeance and eye for an eye here. It is a little breathtaking that you have these fanatics who are willing to kill and in effect try to stifle freedom of expression, freedom of the press. And I think one of the positive developments here was the millions of people who turned out in France holding up pens and pencils as a way to mm-hmm. demonstrate their solidarity. I also think it was comforting or reassuring in that respect that the magazine is the next magazine is going to have a print run of 1 million, not just their usual 60,000, which is a way to mm-hmm. express defiance. So maybe those things are. Her positive developments will remain to be seen.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Oren. That's all the time we have. Joining us today were Tom DeFrank, contributing editor to National Journal, and Oren Durrell, foreign affairs reporter for USA Today. The program was produced by Anya Zalewski. Our engineer was Justin Thwaites. I'm Fred Barnes of the Weekly Standard. Thanks for listening.
From Washington, the nation's capital, the Voice of America has brought you Issues in the News. You can email your questions or comments to our panelists. Send them to voanews@voanews.com. And to keep up with all the latest news, tune in the Voice of America on radio, television, or the World Wide Web. Join us next week at this time for Issues in the News.